Man. Our gospel lesson, John 9, 13 through 23, reads this way. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and that he had received sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, you say, who was blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Open our ears, our hearts, our minds.
For the few moments that are ours this morning, I want to preach from this thought, mud and miracles, now I see. Mud and miracles, now I see. This ninth chapter in the Gospel of John, which includes the healing miracle of a blind beggar, is not just a story about a miracle that Jesus performed years ago in antiquity, but in a real sense, it is a story about how an encounter with Jesus today can open our eyes to new realities and new possibilities that we have previously been blind to. In fact, I believe John chapter 9 is a powerful illustration and confirmation of Jesus' claim, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light." Listen, I won't attempt to do a full exegesis on this text, but a couple of things jump out at me. The first thing I want to say about this text, again, is that this story could be used as a metaphor for all of us being spiritually blind. Because understand something, according to scholars, while Jesus had healed other blind people before, for example, the two blind men in Matthew 9, this is the first recorded incident of him healing one who had been born blind. In other words, when the text says that the man was born blind, what it is really saying, or what it is really doing, is painting a picture of all of humanity. Being born blind is a metaphor that is in contrast to being born again, which paints a picture of the transformative power of the gospel on our lives and its ability to make us see life in fresh, new, and liberating ways through the eyes of Christ. The text says, "The man was born blind." Let's look at the miracle. In verse 6, the text says that after Jesus had dismissed the questions of the disciples about who sinned, this man or his parents, that he spat on the ground and made mud and spread it on the eyes of the man. Check it out. Jesus, always unconventional, uses mud to open the man's eyes. Listen, I know it does not sound sanitary in today's terms, but I believe that this is a metaphor for something deeper and much more meaningful. And since this sermon is going to be shorter than usual, allow me to cut right to the chase and give you the Robinsonian commentary on the text. I believe what this text is teaching us is that before we can genuinely see the world through new eyes, God often has to muddy up our situation. Stay with me for a moment. In other words, I believe that during any genuine encounter with Jesus, that radical preacher from Galilee, that savior of the world, that Jesus always muddies up our worldview, our thought processes, and our ideologies, and our normal way of thinking. Listen, all I'm trying to say is that in order to help us see more clearly, and in order to heal our social, our cultural, and our political blindness, Jesus inevitably has to muddy up our situation. In other words, and let me say it again, any genuine encounter with Jesus always problematizes our inherited epistemologies about how we think about life. It's right there in verse number 39. The Message Bible puts it this way: I came into the world to bring everything into clear sight, into the clear light of day, making all distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense out of seeing will be exposed as blind. Years ago, God muddied up my situation and exposed my spiritual, cultural, and political blindness. Listen, I was happy, I was safe, or I thought I was, and I was content. I had no worries and therefore had no reason to question the world around me or my tidy, neat, privileged view of life. But one day, I met Jesus. No, not the Jesus sanctioned by American theology. Not the Jesus of neoliberal corporate capitalism. Not the Jesus of Western cultural captivity. Not the Jesus we created in our own image, who's always for us and never against us, who hate the people we hate and who love the things we love. No, not that Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible, who said foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The Jesus who ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. The Jesus who touched the people who the religious leaders thought were unclean and unworthy, such as lepers, bleeding women, and Samaritans. The Jesus who did away with the holy boundaries of clean and unclean, holy and profane, and saint and sinner. When I met that Jesus, Jesus muddied up my unexamined worldview and healed my blindness. In his radical love for the least of these, may Jesus heal our blindness about privilege. In his care and sensitivity to women, may Jesus heal our blindness about patriarchy. In his radical generosity and amazing grace, may Jesus heal our blindness about the culture of greed and capitalist excess. In his radical hospitality for those who are written off by a larger society, may Jesus heal our blindness about the ways in which we hurt our neighbors, our trans, our gay, and our LGBTQ neighbors. Jesus often muddies up our worldview in order for us to see more clearly. Maybe, just maybe, that's what the coronavirus is doing, muddying up our situation so we can see better. And maybe through this crisis, God is calling on us to be different. Now, hear me. I am not saying that God willed the coronavirus. Of course, God did not. But I am saying that God does have a will through it. And maybe that will is for us to live life and to do life differently. The coronavirus is exposing the idols of capitalism. It is exposing the culture of workaholism. It is exposing the holes in a capitalist system that ravages the poor and the marginalized and leaves them without a sufficient safety net. Yes, just maybe, the coronavirus is an opportunity for us to live life in healthier and calmer ways. I love this quote from Kitty O'Meara. She says this, "And the people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being, and they were still and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows, and the people began to think differently. And the people were healed. And in the absence of the people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal also. And when the danger passed, the people joined together again. They grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed of new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they themselves had been healed." And all I can say is, Lord, let it be so. Finally, the Pharisees inquired of the man in the text, "Who did this? Who was it who opened your eyes? Who did this thing on the Sabbath?" The man said, "Listen, I don't know who it was. I don't know all the rules. I don't even know what you're talking about one way or the other. But this one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Like the man in the text, that's my testimony. Since Jesus came into my life, now I see." Listen, I don't have 20/20 vision. I don't see everything clearly. I still have some growing to do. I still have some issues to work out. But since Jesus came into my life, now I can see more clearly. I can see that justice ought to roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I can see that there should be rest for the weary and welcome for the wanderer. There's a beautiful hymn in the Presbyterian Church taken from a prayer written during the Middle Ages. It simply says this, "Dear Lord, three things I pray, three things I pray, to see more clearly, to love more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly day by day." And that's what the gospel is all about. It is an invitation to see more clearly. It is an invitation to love more dearly. And it is an invitation to follow Christ more nearly day by day. It is an invitation to walk in the light, the beautiful light, to come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus is the light of the world. I was blind, but since Jesus came into my life and muddied up my situation, I now see. Amen.